Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm glad to be here today with you and still be on this side of the grass.
Amen.
Life has its ups and downs and sometimes makes you wonder, you know.
Amen.
What are the benefits of salvation, of being saved, of belonging personally to Jesus? There's so many definitions out about what that means and what you do to get saved. And having Jesus as Lord and Savior, and there's so many different terminologies. It's all about the very same one and same thing. It could get confusing if you try and bifurcate it too much, try to separate things out and try to analyze everything. What we get out of that is called the remission of sins. We sing about it. We talk about it. We confess it. We rejoice over it. We're so happy about it. But we can't point to it. We can't diagram it for others. We can't draw a picture of it hanging on the wall. We can't describe the shape of it. We don't know what color it is. But one thing we know is this: our sins have been forgiven. When Peter told the Jewish worshipers in Acts chapter 2 to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, it was a bit different from perhaps what they might have expected to be told. The best they ever knew was to have their sins covered once every year on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would make this atoning sacrifice for the sins of the people, for all of the people. And it was a once time per year event. And they would have to make their pilgrimage to the holy city and bring their sacrifices to the whole holy city, present their sacrifice to the priest, which typically, if it's a lamb, this lamb had to be kept separate from all of the other livestock. And they'd have to do this all year long. This lamb didn't mingle with the rest of the livestock. This lamb was kept exclusively for that one atoning sacrifice. And so they would come. So they didn't know what about this repent and be baptized. They knew about baptism, because baptism was something that was done for Gentile converts, those that had been converted from paganism to Israel, to the Jewish religion. So John the Baptist didn't start baptism. Jesus didn't start baptism. They were doing it all along. But John came baptizing differently. Their sins were only covered. But to remit sins, and this is important, and this is a lesson that I think we need to keep uppermost in our minds, to remit sin means to remove sin. To remove sin. Listen, it can be real tricky here, because I messed around and stepped over in a bed of sin last week. And if you ain't careful, you go, well, I guess he didn't remove my sins. Well, yeah, he did. It's the tricky part. Because we go, well, I guess I'm back in that old cesspool again, and I'm about as bad as I was before I ever came to know him. And, oh, heck, I might as well go on and play this one out. No, you don't. Your sins have been removed. Now, I've heard interviews on television, and it's taken me a while to try to get to this because I've been perplexed. Oprah and Osteen and Billy Graham's son, interviewing on secular television. And they ask, and they talk about Bible and, you know, social issues and what you feel about this. And, of course, they'd always spring this on surprise. I want to ask you something. Is homosexuality a sin? And they're trying their best to answer the question. But the problem is not the question. The problem is the question. It's the wrong question. It's not a question of whether this is a sin, or that is a sin, or this is a sin, or that is a sin. Do you know Jesus? That's the question. And we have failed time and time again to not restate the question and not rephrase the question in the proper context, because all the world is trying to do is find justification before God for what they do and say it must be okay if he say it's not a sin. Well, if I say it's not a sin, it's still not okay. We are born in a condition called sin. Everybody. And the only ones whose sins are forgiven are those who have accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Whenever that took place. Now, the tricky part happens because we keep doing things. Okay, listen. We are forgiven from now throughout eternity of our sins. But we still got this thing and this life to deal with. This old man is still very much in place. I was talking about him last week to someone. I called him that old rascal. I don't know what you call yours, but I finally got a name for mine. It's called that rascal. And he will cut the fool and act up and sometimes surprise me. Say and do things and you can't hardly take it back once he's out there. You're like, how do I fix that? But this is something that happens. It's our condition. It's not who we are. It's where we are right now. Now, one day, Christ is going to come, and he's going to break this thing off of us, and he's going to change us. He's going to even change our mortal bodies to be like his body. But it hasn't taken place yet. Okay, so try not to be too overly burdened. Sometimes if you mess around and step into a little hole called sins of the flesh, you try to avoid that. But listen, we've got an enemy who's pretty crafty. Now, I ain't talking about the devil. I'm talking about you and me. Pretty crafty indeed. And if you're not careful, he'll get religious on you. And he'll let you go to church as long as you don't lift up Jesus too high. But as you lift up Jesus, you'll find he'll start cutting the fool and acting up and doing some of the strangest things to try to get it from under that. Well, anyway, I suppose that needed to be shared today. Amen. But yeah, I was over at the Haven of Rest one day, and they had me to, they couldn't find anyone, so they looked and saw me. They said, oh, we know him. Would you come and give us a mini sermonette? Sermonette, what's that? I heard one man say sermonettes are for Christianettes, but anyway. It was before they eat, right, to bless the food. So I got up there, and I'm kind of rambling because I wasn't expecting it. Okay, yeah, well, Jesus did this, and God is this, and God loves you, and we have God, and he wants us to be saved. And one man from the back of the crowd says, saved from what? So I tried to ignore him. I was already unprepared, but I'm okay. And blah, 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 blah. Saved from what? So I answered him in my own rambling kind of a way. And I answered him, and I, you know, saved from this. And it was the correct words, but it wasn't settled in my heart. And after that, it really stunned me that this man pretty much stumped me with a simple question, saved from what? So, I had to go and research that. You know, the Lord used this man. He was a little angry, but the Lord used him. So I had to go look this up. And I put together a message. I forget now where I preached it, but it's about 5 messages in one. That was a long message. So I went back looking at it, and I said, you know what? This needs to be separated out. This is just too much for any one sitting. So we're going to go through this in the next few weeks or so about the question of saved and salvation, what we're saved from, and what this salvation means. We need to know what this means. It's no mystery here. We should be rejoicing. We should be glad. When you get down, you have a father that you can turn to and say, please help me. and he will.
Y'all
can say amen there.
Amen.
Because he will. Not that he could, but he will. And he does. If you'll trust him. Not once have I found myself perplexed after I've gone about 10 or 15 minutes trying to do something and figure something out. And now I'm frustrated and my sugar just goes up and my pressure goes up and my head is throbbing and I'm shaking, just nervous about this thing until I finally say, Lord, I cannot find it. Oh, there it is right there. Looked at it 3 or 4 times and didn't see it. Something is playing tricks on me that only the Lord can break. And it's his power in my life. And because the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And you tell me, maybe you can tell me, because I still ain't figured out except the destruction or the deception of the flesh. Why don't I start out saying, Lord, will you please help me do this? You know y'all don't do that right.
Amen.
Y'all don't do it. Okay, I know you don't. We ain't that different. You start out going about it. You don't even say Lord or God or Jesus. You just say, well, I guess I better go in and get this straight. And you dig into it. And you get so deep and wonder how in the world that I make such a mess. And then if you call on him, he'll show you just how to do it. Y'all, why don't we call on him first?
Yeah.
We're saved from the world. We're saved from the world. The Bible says to love not the world, nor the things in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of God, but is of the world. Now this world, the Bible says, will pass away. And the lust and the drives and the desires of it will pass away. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Forever and ever and ever. We're saved from this world. This influence of the world. This thing doesn't just stop here. It goes beyond, beyond.
Amen.
And when you're dead, no, you're not done. You're not done because you're dead. There's a whole lot more ahead for us. We're saved from the flesh. Paul said, I find that in me there's a law that when I would do good, that sin is present with me. That's what Paul said. He was talking in Romans 7 about the flesh. I find then a law. I had a brother say, well, you know, the Lord told me that if I spent my time walking in the Spirit, I won't have to spend a lot of time talking about the flesh and glorifying the flesh. That's good. We should walk in the Spirit. But I'm not completely there yet. I'm still fighting this fight. And I can walk in the Spirit for 2 months. And now all of a sudden I'm not thinking anymore, and the next thing you know there's that hole there, and you stop paying attention. And now I gotta get my way out of this hole. I need to figure out what happened, because everything was fine up until yesterday at 12 or whatever. So I didn't talk prophetically there, did I? But you know, I mean. No, don't glorify the flesh and don't glorify the devil, but don't close your eyes to your enemy. Okay, don't do that. And of course, we're saved from the devil. The Bible says to be sober and to be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith. That's belief again. In God.
Amen.
That's how you resist him, in God.
Yeah.
We're saved from death. As God told Adam, in the day that you eat us thereof, thou shalt surely die. Listen, God didn't eat, man ate. But it's God through Jesus, they're the ones that acted and addressed death. God didn't eat, man ate. But God addressed death in Jesus. So thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. And listen, we're still dying. We still die. They ain't figured out a way yet to stop that from happening. They are creating people in test tubes now and call it artificially inseminating this thing that they do in a laboratory to create, you know, bring a certain being. They can you can grocery shop the kind of genes you want your child to be. I don't know how ethical that is, but I want them to have blue eyes, or I want them to have a blue and a brown eye, or I want them to have black hair, or I want them to be born with gray hair. I mean, you could kind of grocery shop and fix them up. I want them to be athletic. Okay, let's see. We're going to go down and find an athletic bill, and they'll go and put all that together and stick, and then artificially inseminate it. And now you've got this thing. But they haven't been able to stop this thing from death from happening. Now I'm going to make a statement that seems maybe a little, I guess when I do something like that, maybe I should make the statement. Huh? It seems a little harsh, but it's true. Everybody dies. There's no way around it. Everybody dies. The ones that won't die are those that are on the earth when Jesus comes, and those who are saved and know him. Everybody dies. With children, we always say, it's just too early. But they die too. You know what I mean? Why? Well, yeah, because everybody dies. It's tragic. I cannot imagine the loss of a child. That's devastating. It's got to be devastating. But the bottom line is everybody dies.
Amen.
We're saved from ourselves. You know, you really need deliverance from you, right?
Amen.
You know, for years and years I used to rebuke Satan. I'd bind him up. Still ain't never seen him. But I bind him up and I rebuked him and I commanded him and I could cast him. I cast his demons out. I cast his wife out. Anything associated with him, I binded, commanded to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're over there laughing at me so hard till they can't stand up. Him and his boys. They say, he have no idea that I've been defeated. What a dummy. But you know what? My enemy is my flesh. He's the closest one. Do you know I have not yet rebuked my flesh in that way? You know who you should be rebuking? You should be rebuking yourself. You will say, I rebuke you, you rascal, in the name of Jesus. And Jesus Christ takes authority over you and your actions. Men won't do that. You know why? Because no man's ever hated his own flesh. That's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
No man's ever hated his own flesh. And that was told in a different context, that you should love your wife as Christ loved the church. You know, no man's ever hated his own flesh. But really, the truth is, yeah, you should rebuke. But you should rebuke your flesh, the operation of your flesh. Bring that under the authority of the cross.
Amen.
Because listen, Satan has no expression in this world but through a man or a woman. Okay?
Amen.
He's not going to walk in that door and say, I'm Satan! I'm taking over this place. Mm-mm. He's going to walk in one of us if we're not careful and if we're not walking in the Spirit. And that can happen at any given time that you're not paying attention and you're not walking in the Spirit. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're in the flesh. One or the other. The Bible says you cannot do the things that you would. Either you're in the Spirit or you're in the flesh. There's no straddle the fence. Straddle the fence hurts. Y'all know that, right?
Amen.
Yeah. That's not a way to live. Well, anyway, Lord, we thank you for this so far. And we ask that you continue to speak your truth to our hearts today. And help us, Lord, to hear those things that you have for us. We're saved from this world and even from the end of the world. Again, the Bible says in John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's 1 John 2. The things that are in the world. It says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, it goes and it explains to us. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so those things that we go after world worldly speaking, it is not of God. It's of the world. It says that the world has an influence that we could fall under. But that influence would influence us away from the love of the Father, away from the love of God that should be shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. But instead, if we're loving the world, then that world now is influencing us away from the proper kind of a love. And oh, by the way, that word for love there is agape, agapeo love. It's a godly kind of a love. When it talks of the love of the Father, it's agape love. It is a love that is a spiritual and a high love. It's the word world is the word cosmos. It speaks of the way things are arranged, the order of things. Now we say the order of things, you look at, that's beautiful. You find beautiful cars and homes and things, and you find situations that are put together to work in certain kinds of a way. You put your trust in the world systems. You're moving away from the love of God that we should be walking and living by. It's not of the Father, but it is of the world. Well, you say, well, Pastor, that perplexes me. It kind of worries me a little bit because I am surrounded by things that I love in this world. Ain't nobody here don't say that, huh?
Amen.
Yes, I'm being facetious. I admit being facetious. You say, you mean I'm supposed to go throw all that stuff out? No, you probably shouldn't do that. Because this is a matter of the heart. It's not a sin to have things. It's a sin, again, to have things before God in your life. It's fine to have cars and money and a job. It's even fine to be rich, as long as you don't love the riches. See, it becomes a very thin line there. It's not that you shouldn't have things. It's just how you should deal with them. And it's a very, can you walk that line? Because it's a very thin line. Very thin. And I know me. And I said it before. Me and a lot of money equals, and you know, solve for X. Me and a lot of money and X equals me with not a lot of money, not too far down the road. X is me, not back to where I was at the beginning. I give it away. I don't hold it long. If I put money in my pocket, it's probably gone by the time I get home, but I don't come home with a bunch of bags.
Amen.
It's in your pocket or somewhere. It's in your life or somewhere else. You know, I give it away. But the Bible says that this world passes away. But not only here in 1 John 2 does the world pass away, but here's something, even the lust of the world, or the desires of the world pass away. You're going to lose even the desire that you have. So if you're identified with this desire, it's going to leave. It's going to be gone. It passes away. The lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. And ever. And yes. And ever. So we're saved from the passing away of the world. We're saved from these driving desires and lusts that we fight against. The younger you are, the more strong the lusts are. But you get older, they don't go away. They're just different. But they're there. They drive. With a young man and sexual desires. Man, sexual drive is one of the most powerful, one of the most powerful things in the world. It's amazing the things that people will do because of that influence. I mean, you see men almost faint when a beautiful woman walk in the room. He's the Lord, have mercy. Oh, my God. God has smiled on us. You know how men act. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. Any one of you ladies walk down this street and go on that main street down there and see how many, Mama, hey, sexy Slim, can I walk with you? Where you headed, girl? Lord, have mercy, I sure wish I was not driving right now. You know what that's all about. They don't know you. It's that drive, man. And that's behind a lot of things that people do. It gets a little confusing there, but it's behind a lot of things that people do. A lot of things. So we're saved from that. God takes and he kind of gives us direction and focus in life. Not that he takes it away, but he kind of gives you a little bit more focus. You need to think clear about this thing. you really do. You need to pray about this. Help me, Lord, to think clearly about this, because this is a potent, potent influence. So we're saved from that through doing the will of God. And what is the will of God? 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but he is long-suffering to usward, that is towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His will, very simply put, is that men not perish, or that men are saved. It's as simple as that. You say, well, wait a minute. God's will, I know you've heard it said so many times what God's will is, what God wants. When the folks say God wants this and wants you to have this and wants you to have that, they're saying to you that this is God's will for your life. God wants you to have the best. As I was studying this, I remember the man that, preacher that drove a Rolls Royce, he said, God wants me to show up in the best. He wants me to ride in the best. Got a jet, a Lear jet. Said God wants to get me around in the best. He dresses me in these suits, these $700, $1,000 suits, because God wants me to look his best. You know? And they say, and that's what he wants for you too. That's his will of God. It's for you too. Well, if that's the case, that he wants us to look in the best like them, all of us is in sin. We got trouble. But I'm so glad to tell you this morning that that's not what it's about.
Amen.
I'm so glad to tell you that if you're rich or if you're poor, it doesn't mean a thing to him. He wants you to be saved. And listen, saved is a moving thing. It's not you get saved at one point. Once that happens, it's a done deal. But it's a moving thing here, because you can move in and out of situations where you're not careful. You wonder if you are saved. Say and do things. Say, man, I think I'm saved. I know I got saved. But I'm just not sure what this is right now.
Amen.
And, but it's one of those things. And see, he doesn't want us to worry. He doesn't want us to be in that kind of state of mind. He wants us to be assured of our salvation. And we should be, because he says so in his word, and because you know so in your experience. So you should. Now, Acts 2:31 tells us that, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So how do you get saved? Call upon the name of the Lord. When I got saved in 1980, it took me close to a month to accept what God had already provided for me. Because I kept asking around, what do I need to do to get saved? And one person told me, they say you got to give up everything. You got to completely turn away from everything. You got to not be sinning and all that. So I tried that. That didn't work.
Amen.
Well, you got to be this way. You got to call on them. You got to do this and that. And so just a little less than a month did I come to the point which is where we should come to, or should have come to, in our salvation experience. And if you haven't come to this point, then you need to come to this point where I had nothing else but him. I had come to the end of myself. I knew nowhere else to look. I was frustrated with my attempts. They all failed, but I had a strong sense of a need for him in my life. And I didn't know how to get it. I had so many different, some say you need to call on them and let the tongues fill your mouth and all of these things. And I tried some of everything they told me, and none of that worked. And so that's that day I told you about in my little Pinto. That was that day. It was prayer night that night. And I got in my little Pinto and closed the door. And I said, Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to touch me, Lord. And I was at the end of my rope. I said, Lord, please, please, please. Tonight I need to hear from you. I need you to touch me. Please save me, Lord. Please save me. And that night, I spoke in tongues, but I got saved in the Pinto.
Amen.
You hear that?
Amen.
I got saved in the, I didn't get saved at church. I got saved in the Pinto. And I said, well, why did you give me tongues? Because you insisted on having that as a sign. The sign of for the Jews. But he gave that to me by his grace. It's never happened again since then. But because of the doctrine that says this is what you gotta have in order to be saved, and because I was indoctrinated, he gave me that one time experience, and it was a glorious experience. But I got saved in the Pinto.
Amen.
And I realized it in the prayer room. But there comes that point where we need to be brought to this point by his Spirit, where I got nothing else but you. It's not something where you say, well, I think I want to be saved. Okay. Sounds good. Sounds like a good thing to do. I think it's worth it. People seem to be okay, most of them. So I'm going to confess you, Lord, and now I'm saved now. Oh, you hadn't made it up steps yet. You still got to come in the door of repentance. All right. Now, because it's a place of brokenness. If you haven't been broken, you haven't made it through the door. Brokenness. Not where you come in your own resources and your own strength and your own power and your own thinking and your own experience or past experiences. You can't throw them all in a pot and say, I'm walking in with all this stuff. Jesus mentioned the narrow way. A narrow way is so narrow that the only thing that can get through is you. That means you got to come in pretty much naked with none of the worldly things attached. That means they all must drop off at that way. Because if you try to bring them in, you won't get through. It's just that narrow. It's defined as a constricted way. That means you got to line up with this way and you got to squeeze in. And a lot of this other stuff really do need to pass away. If you're going in trusting your job, if you're going in trusting your money, if you're going in trusting your education, if you're going in trusting your smarts or your mental ability, if you're going in with these things, if you're going to figure this thing out, you're not going to get it. Because he hides from the wise and prudent. He hides. But he gives grace to the humble. And so we have to humble ourselves and drop all this, and none of this stuff means anything. But you, Lord, are everything. Listen now. What must I do to be saved? You got to drop all of these things and leave them aside. But listen, I do understand that it's not something that you can pull on yourself. You need the help of God even to get to that point to show you just how bad off you are. And I hope everyone's been there. I hope that's the case. But listen, these kinds of messages are going to come until Jesus comes, as far as I'm concerned, because we always need to check ourselves. Even though I say you are this, you are that, listen, I can't tell you saved. I hope everyone is. But only you and God knows. And we could be going on a misconception of something that someone told us years ago and still not be there. Or we could be walking in sin and have not confessed them yet. There's plenty room for confession. And listen, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, the Bible says in Romans 5 that by the offense of one, that judgment came upon all men. That means every man is included in this condemnation. Every man. That's why every man is born into sin. And the day you eat of it, you will surely die. That's sin. Anytime you disobey God, that's sin. It came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, the Bible says, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men under justification. That means that there's enough justification to save every man on this earth.
Amen.
Every man. There's enough to save every man, though every man won't get saved. But there's enough if every man came. It covers the entire human race. It's not something that, you know, I'm born and then I'm just, you know, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to be saved. No, there must be a point of conversion. There must be a point. Only one time. But it must be a real time and a real point of conversion where you're changed and to be a new creature.
Amen.
And if you're not careful, you start looking like you did before then, but that won't change who you are in Him.
Amen.
You'll just be walking in hypocrisy.
Amen.
Or ignorance.
Yeah.
Okay?
Amen.
It doesn't change. Now, Dad's going to get the switch out and get you now, but he's going to get you now, but you belong to Him. And if you don't belong to Him, He won't get out the switch. In other words, if you say, I got saved, and you go headed down the road, continue on, and there's never any chastisement, you need to turn around and run back. You say, my goodness, why are you not? I mean, you should expect chastisement when you're walking in disobedience. I mean, He's not going to just jump on you and start beating you half to death, because He'll speak to you by His Spirit. He'll tell you to turn around. That's not good. Don't do that. Don't do that. And but after a while, you start feeling these little switch things. You know, y'all used to get them around the legs. Those little plumb switches, things that don't break. I don't care how they used to do them. And you hear them coming. Mom, that hurt me. There comes another one. Yeah. He'll do that, see. But listen, I'm sounding the alarm this morning. What do we say from? I'm sounding the alarm this morning. Bible says here in 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men, that's His will. What's His will? That all men will be saved. He will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And the truth again is a person. And His name is?
Jesus.
There you go. To the knowledge of Jesus. That's what it is. Come to the knowledge of Jesus. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lust, we should live soberly. This is how we should live soberly. We should live righteously and godly in this present world. So if you ever have a question about how you should live, here it is in Titus 2:12. We should live soberly. That is level-headed living. And that we should live righteously. And that we should live godly in this present world. That's how we should live. Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. His will is that men repent, or that men turn around, or that men change, that you change your direction. In Luke 15:7, it says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Joy is in heaven. Can you imagine a person gets saved and heaven erupts? Oh my goodness. What in the world is going on in heaven when a person gets saved? Joy. Man, oh man, oh man. Wow, what a day. Wait till we get there, though. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission or the removal, again, the removal of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what this is about. Listen, when you got saved, the Holy Ghost was imparted into your life. You received Him. When you got saved, you received Him. Amen again.
Amen.
Acts 3:19, it says, repent ye therefore and be converted, see, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I hope you've experienced this time of refreshing.
Amen.
Do you know what the time of refreshing is? It speaks of a recovering of the breath. You know how you get out of breath and you finally get your breath back?
Mm-hmm.
Or you get the breath knocked out of you?
Oh, yeah.
And you finally get your breath back. That's what this speaks of. It's a time of recovery of breath. It actually is, figuratively, it means a revival. It's like being revived or coming to life. That's what this happened. Listen, when I got saved, something left me. Something lifted off of me.
Yeah.
I went to work the next day. I was the grinning fool. You know, I was just, I had this stupid smirk on my face. I was so joyful. And I couldn't tell you what, I couldn't explain it to you. All I know was, something was gone.
Mm-hmm.
There was that sin condition. He lifted that thing off me.
Yeah.
And you know this experience if you've been there.
Amen.
Where this thing is lifted off of you, and you got this lightness and this silly. Yeah, I was just like the Miss America, right, who won the pageant. I can't believe it. Ooh, yeah, you know, that this thing, I felt so light and just so free. And of course, I started by listening to the wrong doctrine and stuff, and that kind of threw a couple of wrenches in the work. But I'm so glad that even wrong doctrine doesn't change who you are.
Amen.
Once that conversion takes place, it'll put you on a road of delay, perhaps. Or it may take you down some wrong direction, but listen, once you belong to Him, you can't bit more get unborn than your child, who's not 22 years old, can get unborn. Can't happen. Once you're in, you're in. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 tells us that Jesus delivered us from the wrath to come. This is a deliverance that we thank Him for and we receive by faith, but we still don't know what all of that means. We read some in Revelation. When Jesus spoke in Luke 21, He talked with them. They asked Him, what will this be? What will it be like? And what will be the sign of your coming? In Luke 21, Jesus began to speak with them about false prophets. And He began to speak with them about what's going to happen in Jerusalem. And we talked about this the other night, how phenomenal this is, that Jesus answered their questions. He spoke to them presently where they were. Then He spoke to them about the one stone not be left upon another in Jerusalem, in the temple. That would have been 40 years down the road. But He was answering them. They couldn't understand what He meant. But He was talking to whoever would be there at that time, because it says, He said at that time, woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. That means if you're pregnant or if you have a child that you're nursing. And He says, woe to them. And He also says, let them that are in Jerusalem when this happened, let them flee, He says, to the mountains. So whoever, good morning. He says, so whoever will be in Jerusalem at this time, He says, that you should flee and go to the mountains. Now, when these men were listening to what He said, they didn't understand what He meant, because He was talking way further down the road. And then He was talking about some other things, about earthquakes and different things that were going to take place. This was way down the road. The sun and the moon turning into blood and these types of things. He was answering their question, but He was thousands of years now down the road explaining to them what to expect. So while He answered their questions, I don't see how anyone listening could have understood all that He said unless they had familiarity with Joel, or if they had familiarity with Daniel and some of the other prophets, Isaiah, that spoke about these things. But the Bible says that even the prophets desired to look into the things that we know of today. So it was a great mystery. So when He spoke to them present, 40 years down the road, and thousands of years ahead. He spoke about the millennial kingdom. He spoke about so many things here in the scriptures in Luke 21. And guess what else He did? He said something to you. If you're reading it, you'll see that He'll speak to you. You say, wow, that's for the church. That's for me. What a phenomenal, phenomenal person He is. Not was, but that He is. And He said that He's talking and He's going thousands of years down the road. Why? Because He's God and He can see that far.
Amen.
And He can see that clearly. And we're sitting there talking to Him and trying, and I've spent so many hours trying to figure out what all this was, and I was never going to figure out this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? God gives you what you need.
Amen.
For the time that you need it.
Amen.
And study is good. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So yes, we should study. But there's a point where We just need to have what we have and move forward in God from that point and trust Him. He said one place, He said, listen, don't worry about what you're going to say because it'll be given to you in that hour what you shall say. And of course, He was talking about those that was further up the road as well, those that are going to be brought before magistrates and kings for Jesus' sake. And, I think we might be getting close to that. But we just need, see, these are good instructions. Don't worry about what you're going to say. You just be ready, and it will be given. That's what He said. It will be given to you in that hour what you'll say. Be given how? By the Spirit that lives in you. That same Spirit that will help you find your ink pen that you couldn't find for 2 weeks. Same Spirit that tells you how to give. And when not to give, by the way, there's sometimes you shouldn't give.
Yeah.
Don't just say amen, because listen, there's sometimes you shouldn't give.
Amen.
But if it's time to give, give.
Yeah. Amen.
And then you might be in an offering time and you might say, man, I think I want to give this $20.
Mm-hmm.
And He said, give $2.
Yeah.
Say, but I can give 20. You better give 2. And be obedient. I need a few more amens on that.
Amen.
You know why? Because we are always told to give triply and give as much as you can. And that's okay. But if you get that special instruction, number one, that's going to help you because you're in the flesh anyway. Come on. You're in the flesh anyway. You're like the rich man that's given big, and the widows might come and give. You know, it's kind of hard to imagine how He'd say don't give 20 and 2, but I'm just saying what He's given me to say. And it's a matter of learning obedience.
Amen.
Sometimes it's hard to obey even in giving. So, and that's just one of many things that He can instruct us. Bobby, Wednesday, Bobby said, anybody want coffee? I said, I didn't say it loud enough. Bobby pulled the coffee out. I said, is it getting it? He said, oh man, I pulled it out. Then you know what Bobby said? He said, something told me I should pull up at least one cup. I said, you want to learn to listen to him, brother. It didn't make sense, but it did make a whole lot of sense. And you could have next week you're going to pull up a cup. You're going to pull up a cup. But it's not going to be the same, though, because I'll probably have a cup. But it's a lesson there on obeying God when He speaks to you. So, and that's not a put down. I know Bobby is more than glad to share that with us, but it was a wonderful confirmation. Bobby said, something told me to pour up a cup. He was listening and said, something said, pour up a cup, and he steady pouring it down. That's how this goes. And the lady used to say, oh, wow, man, I should have done that. I've done it hundreds of times.
Yeah.
And so have you as well. And we call the Holy Spirit something. For some reason we won't say the Lord told me or the Spirit led me. But we're scared of what people are going to think. And they will think that too. They're going to think you're odd. They will. There's no question. The Spirit told me to do this. I want you to have this. Wow, I don't know. I'm just led by the Spirit to do it. Not sure I want it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this comes with our condition called being saved and so much more, y'all.
Amen.
We are one blessed people.
Yes,
you're in Christ, you are a blessed person.
Amen.
You might not have that big money, but what you got, money cannot buy.
Amen. Amen.
That peace, you can't buy it. You can't buy it. The love that pushes past those things that maybe make you angry or that hurt you when you come out on the other side loving again.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't buy that. Oh, man. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for blessing us and helping us and helping me, Lord, to say what you want to be said. Now, Father, as we leave this place today, I do ask that you would cement this message in the hearts of those that have heard. And Father, don't let them get away from this truth about what this salvation does for us. And according to your will and purpose, we hope that we could come back again next week and learn more from you. In Jesus' name.